In the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. In the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 16 through 23. Luke, chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Daniel chapter 9, verses 16 through 23. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy hill, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, "O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gracious Father, we come before you this day, and we thank you and praise you for your word. We ask now that you would impart to us spiritual wisdom, that you would work in our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would strengthen us in these things, that we might not only hear them with our ears, but understand them and know them in our hearts and in our souls. And Father, as we understand these things, we might find ourselves enlightened to the glories of your gospel, that we might be enlightened further to the joy of our salvation, that we might behold Jesus Christ even now in your word. And that as we hear your word, our faith would be built. That as we hear your word, our Savior might be made manifest to us, and that we, in turn, might be sanctified and made more like him. For we ask all of these things in his holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. What are we concerned with? Or what do you think about? What are we fascinated by as individuals or as a people? What captures our imaginations? Most of us would probably offer a variety of answers. In fact, depending on the day and the week, our answers may change. What we might say today would be different from what we might have said last week or 6 months ago or even a year ago, and it will probably be different than what we would say a year from now. Over the past weeks and months, many have expressed grave concern over the political process in our country, the things that we have suffered through as we have watched this election cycle take place and now come to an end, except not really. Many then turned their thoughts to the coming season, For after this election cycle, we saw Black Friday upon us. And throngs of people became enamored less with their role as a voter than with their role as a consumer. We think about our lives, we think about our jobs, we think about our families, we think about our future. Sometimes we think about our past. We find ourselves concerned with this disturbing trend that we read about, or we become fascinated by that new piece of technology we see at the mall or in whatever magazine we happen to read. But in the midst of our consumer-driven, self-worshipping, pleasure-seeking, work-avoiding culture, how many of us find ourselves concerned with the name of God? How many of us ponder the things of the Lord deeply and on a regular basis? How many of us find our imaginations captured by the kingdom of God and His righteousness? The truth be told, very few of us can claim such a thing. Except as we turn to Daniel 9 for Daniel. Daniel was concerned with the things of God. Daniel was taken with the promises of God as he imagined them coming to pass. As he read the promises of God in Jeremiah and anticipated their imminent fulfillment, Daniel was absorbed in these things. He was fascinated by the restoration of the kingdom, the restoration of the glory of God to Jerusalem. He was fascinated, as we have seen in this book, and we see in Daniel chapter 9, he was fascinated with God Himself and desired that God's glory be seen in His people and in the land of Babylon, indeed among the nations. As we noted last time, Daniel recognized the prophecy of God in Jeremiah coming to fruition as the days of Judah's captivity seemed to be waning. Yet rather than rejoice and write a psalm of praise and thanksgiving, we find Daniel bowed his knee in confession. And he did so not only to find forgiveness for himself and the rest of his people, but also that God would restore His glory to His people and to His sanctuary. He did so that God might once again glorify Himself in right worship among His people. He did so that God might turn His wrath away and show mercy to His people, to restore them to their land, so that they might have the opportunity to worship and adore God as He both desired and directed. This is the plea of Daniel for God to restore His sanctuary, to restore His holy city. And so Daniel bowed his knee in confession and pled with God that He would bring these things to pass. He did so that the name of the Lord, the name by which the city and people of God were known, that the name of the Lord Himself might be lifted up among the nations. The end of his prayer: "Delay not, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. Vindicate your name before the nations, O God," is what Daniel is praying. For Daniel's desire was not his own righteousness or his own glory. The desire of Daniel seen in this prayer is the righteousness and glory of God Almighty. His desire was that God would be seen as great among the people and among all the nations. For as we find in our text this morning, Daniel did not try to explain away his own sin or the sin of God's people. He did not make excuses. He did not hold up his own attempts at obedience or righteousness as something that God should consider. O Lord, according to your righteous acts, let your anger and wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem. Because of our sins, the iniquity of our fathers, your people, your holy city, your sanctuary has become a byword. Therefore, incline your ears and listen to us. We do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. Daniel did not say, "Well, you know, God, you brought us into Babylon and it's been really hard, and so we've kind of screwed it up a little bit." He didn't try to explain away his sin. He didn't try to explain away the sin of the people of Israel. He did not hold up their own perceived righteousness or obedience as something God should consider. He did not rationalize or seek to point the finger at anyone other than himself. Instead, he sought the face of God in mercy. He sought the face of God in prayer and petition, confessing his own sin, confessing the sin of his people, and recognizing they had nothing to bring before God upon which they could stake any claim to honor or glory. That the only way there would be honor or glory would be for God to do so himself through his great mercy. The only way that God's name would be made great among the nations again was for God himself to do it. To lift himself up among his people and among the nations. And so Daniel pled with God to do so. He pled with God to restore his name to his people. He beseeched God to glorify himself. Hear, he said. See, he says. Pray. Forgive, he says. Don't delay. Pay attention. Act and forgive. And glorify yourself. He prayed for God to bring about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah soon. That Jerusalem, the sanctuary of God himself, might once again be restored. For it was in that sanctuary that God was worshipped and adored. It was in that sanctuary that God had directed in the Old Covenant that he would be honored and glorified. And so in Daniel's mind, God could not be worshipped and glorified as he rightly deserved until that sanctuary was restored and the people could do so according to God's word. Daniel desired that God's name would be made great once again among his people and among the nations. Daniel's thoughts and his desires and his hopes were found in the honor of the Most High God. And so he pled for God to act according to his word and to his promises. He pled with God to restore his name to his people and show mercy. He pled with God, not by his own righteousness, but by the righteousness of God himself to do such things. And God answered him. Many of us might think that we would like to be answered in such fashion. We will see the answer of God is a long one. But God answered him directly. As I was speaking and praying, Daniel says, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, as I am presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, God answered. And God sent Gabriel, the angel, whom Daniel had seen before. The angel Gabriel came to Daniel to announce that God would return to his city, that God would return his people to that city, and that God would return his glory to that city. And as we will see in the coming weeks, the rest of the book of Daniel is really a prophetic answer to Daniel's prayer. The rest of the book of Daniel is God telling Daniel how he is going to answer this prayer. And how he will restore his glory to his sanctuary, not just immediately in Daniel's day and in Jerusalem proper, but down the road, in the future. So the rest of this book really is a prophetic answer to Daniel's pleas of contrition found in chapter 9. For God is merciful, and God is gracious, and God will keep his promises. And as Daniel prayed to God concerning those promises, God answered him, both for Daniel's day and the immediate future, but also for the distant future, that future of which Daniel could only dream. For the complete answer to Daniel's pleas for mercy and grace was not found in his own day. The complete answer of God was not even found in Daniel's own generation. The full answer to Daniel's prayers was found as this same angel visited somebody else centuries later. to promise a Savior King who would, in every way, shape, and form, restore the glory of God to His people and to His sanctuary. For as we understand the Scriptures, we recognize the answer to Daniel's prayers was and is Jesus Christ Himself. The answer to Daniel's prayers is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, sent by the Ancient of Days to bring about the Kingdom of God and to redeem a people unto Himself. And as Gabriel will lay out the vision and the prophecies for Daniel and the rest of this book, we recognize that Christ ultimately is the fulfillment of these things. And it is interesting, if you look at the parallels to Gabriel coming to Daniel and speaking to him, and Gabriel coming to Mary and speaking to her. But as we turn in these days and weeks to this Christmas season, we find the world around us desiring many things and thinking on many things and holding many things up that we should be concerned with. There are lights and there are trees and there are songs and there is food and there is family togetherness and there is joy and there is peace and there is all sorts of wonderful sounding things. And none of them in and of themselves are bad. Enjoyed properly, they are gifts of God. But in the midst of all of this, what is it that we should desire most? All of these things are well and good, but without a passionate desire for the glory of God in the midst of these things, they're empty. Without a passionate desire for the Kingdom of God, these things are that which burns in the fire, that which is eaten by moths or destroyed by rust. Without a passionate desire for the glory of God, even such things as peace and joy are taken by the world and misused. For as the people of God, our desire this season, indeed every season and every day of the year, should be more and more centered on our God, should more and more be centered around our King and His kingdom and His glory and His name, more than ourselves, more than our place in this world or the things that the world itself is doing. But as we turn to God in humble confession, as we plead with Him to glorify Himself in His kingdom and through His people, just as Daniel did, we find that He has done so and He is doing so through our Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ was sent to show us mercy and love. Christ was sent to save us from our sins. But as we take the long view of history, we find that the ultimate way that God will restore His glory to His sanctuary, the ultimate way that God restores His glory to His kingdom and to His people, is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And while we may struggle with our own trials and our own temptations, as we may wonder at the timing of God, as we may plead with Daniel, "How long, O Lord, how long?" As we plead for the mercy that sometimes seems slow in coming, we must persevere in these things and in this knowledge. We must look ahead as we await that promised glory of God, for that glory of God is promised. And God will keep His promises as He always has done. For the Word of God testifies to us, just as Gabriel testified to Daniel, that we are greatly loved. What an amazing thing is, as Gabriel comes to Daniel, the vision he is about to experience is terrifying. The answer of Gabriel is immediate, but then the visions he receives in chapters 10 and following are terrifying to him. And yet Gabriel gives him this assurance, "You are greatly loved. I have come to you, for you are loved greatly. And know that God is answering your prayers. God is honoring His word." That same Gabriel who came to Mary, who was afraid and said, "Oh, Mary, you who are favored by God." And we know as we read the Scriptures, we too are those who are greatly loved by God. How do we know that? To my knowledge, none of us in here have had the angel Gabriel approach us and tell us that we are loved by God. If you have had that happen to you, thank you for keeping it quiet. The reality is that's not how God has told us He loves us. In fact, the New Testament tells us this: greater love has no one than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. How do we know we are greatly loved? The Son of Man, the one who was sent by the Ancient of Days, the one who was promised to Daniel himself, came to inaugurate the kingdom that would have no end, came not only to set up that kingdom, but to populate that kingdom with people of God, with the citizens of that kingdom. And the way he made them citizens was to die for them. Those to whom he would show the greatest of love by dying for their sins. If you are one who has looked to God in Jesus Christ and have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and have been saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, know this, brothers and sisters, you are greatly loved. For greater love hath no one than this, than he lay down his life for you. And Jesus laid down his life for you. See what kind of love the Father has given us. The scriptures say that we should be called the children of God. Or 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In this is love, that God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not that we love God. As Daniel says, God, it's not my righteousness. It's nothing I can bring to you. And as we say that to God with Daniel, as we confess that we can offer Him nothing, that we do not present our pleas before Him because of our own righteousness, we find His great mercy at work as He says, I love you. Through the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that great mercy that Daniel pleads for here, we have found. Not because we have merited it, not because we have loved God, not that our righteousness has moved Him to such a thing, but because of His great mercy, because of His everlasting faithfulness, because of His promises, He has loved us and He has redeemed us from our sins. And having given us His own righteousness in place of our sin, as Jesus Christ died from on the cross, and having redeemed us from death through the resurrection of His own Son, having shown to us the greatest of all loves, in the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, that God then promises to us what Daniel sought in prayer. For He promises to us eternal life in His holy kingdom. He promises to us eternal life in that new Jerusalem. For the fulfillment of Daniel's plea is found not as his people are restored to Jerusalem in that day. The fulfillment to Daniel's plea was not found as the Jews returned to Zion in the 1940s. The fulfillment of Daniel's prayer is found in Jesus Christ and the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem that descends, as recorded in Revelation 21. For we who are greatly loved, for we who plead with God that He would vindicate His name among His people, that He would restore a right worship in His sanctuary, that He would restore the hearts of His people, that He would glorify His name among the nations, that He would restore the holy places. The promise of the Bible is He will. He will. Revelation 21 tells us that we will hear that voice of the heavenlies, as John heard it, declare, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. This is, in that chapter 21 of Revelations, what the new Jerusalem looks like. This is what happens in that holy heavenly city that Daniel pleads for. And the promise of God is this city to those who bend the knee before Him in faith. This is the promise of God to those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the call of Daniel to the church of the 21st century, that we bow before our God, that we seek His face, that we turn from our sin and seek first His kingdom, that we set our minds on things above rather than on things below, that we stop allowing ourselves to get caught up in the passions and practices of the world around us and get caught up instead in the passion for Jesus Christ and the practice of the Word of God, that we stop looking to ourselves and our own righteousness and look instead and only to the righteousness of the Son of God who has loved us greatly and gave His life for us. For the promise to those who seek God in humble contrition, the promise to those who turn to God in confessing their complete lack of merit, the promise of God who seek Him in the merit and mediation of Jesus Christ alone, that promise of God is found not only as we find our tears wiped away, not only as we find our sorrows dispelled, but as the plea of Daniel fully and finally comes to pass for all eternity, and God restores His sanctuary and His glory before all the nations will be seen through Jesus Christ our Lord. For then every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is the fulfillment of Daniel's plea. Revelation 21, verses 22 through 27, John says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light the nations will walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so there John records the final fulfillment of the prophecy that comes to Daniel when he prays for God to restore himself to His city and to a people who are called by His name. And the promise is given to those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nothing unclean shall enter the city. No one by their own works of righteousness will enter this city, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who are greatly loved and who have found salvation in Jesus Christ alone. And so, brothers and sisters, may we find ourselves seeking the face of God as Daniel sought His face in humble adoration. May we find ourselves bowing before our merciful Father in contrition, confessing there is nothing we can offer or bring to His throne. May we turn away from our own righteousness and instead turn fully and completely to the righteousness of the One who gave Himself for us. Let us look not to the empty promises of man. Let us not look to the things that this world offers us, but to the coming kingdom of God. And as we confess the name of Jesus Christ above all names, know this, as the Scriptures testify to Daniel and to us, we are greatly loved. We are greatly loved. And as those written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will find peace and we will find eternal joy as we find our place in that restored kingdom of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will find our peace and we will find our eternal joy, not in the things of this world, not in the cares and concerns that are all around us. We will find our peace and our eternal joy only as the prophecy of Daniel is fulfilled and we stand before the Most High God and we see and participate in that glory. The glory of God before all of the nations, the glory of God before heaven and earth as His sanctuary is restored and Jesus Christ Himself lights it with His own glory. Brothers and sisters, rejoice this day. Rejoice this season, for these are the promises of God to those who are loved so much that Jesus died for our sins. Rejoice this day to know that one day you will stand in that kingdom, in that city, before the Most High God, because of the faithfulness and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory forever and ever. Amen.